A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. No.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Ollie Davis. How the devil are you?
Hot, but I've got my aircon unit that I've rented. Can you hear it?
No, I can't, no, which is either
good.
Very good about the aircon or it's just a very good microphone. So regular listeners to the show, long-time listeners who will listen to all like 1,000-plus episodes that we've now got out of this podcast, every summer, Ollie goes through buying air conditioners and air purifiers, and every year...
Never once bought an air conditioner.
This will be the year when I'll actually have a cool summer, and he spends hours researching online for all of the things, and then buys one, then gets it, and then turns to me and goes like, "That's not doing anything." And I'm like, "Well, I mean, guess there's always next year then." But is this one actually working for you?
Well, it's a legit air conditioner, so you know, fans. At the end of the day, they only really move around air; they don't cool the air, and that is of no use when the air is very hot in one of our offices, which it has been. Every year we've done it, especially in our little small studio room, our little baby studio room.
Gross in there. Steve of Going In Raw was shocked. His system was shocked to learn how warm it gets in that studio room, because we were sweating up a storm when we did that show together.
We were sold at that office space on having air conditioning.
Mm.
I asked the guy and he was like, "No." No, you definitely said, "I've got a video of me having a tour around the offices, me pointing at the air conditioning unit that was attached to the wall and saying, 'Oh, that's great, you've got aircon.'" And he went, nah, mate. Turns out we can't offer it.
I mean, in all fairness, we built a set in front of it anyway, so it wouldn't have actually done us any good. And I would imagine...
Shut up, Luke!
It would have been one of those situations where it's also too loud and we'd have had to turn it off when we were on air.
Well, the last year I bought Well, 2 years ago now. It was a special fan that you filled up with water and it would evaporate the cool water and blow it round the room. That did nothing. Jesus! I hope we never get like, no, in our luck, we're going to get sponsored by it. And tomorrow, next week, I'll be having to, you know what really cools down a room? It's not like Magic Spoon cereal, Luke, which I genuinely love.
They're not sponsoring this show. You stole that sponsor from me.
Oh, it's delicious. And so, so low in carbs. But this year, it's a full-on aircon unit. I've rented it. Aircon unit rentals are weird. I did a lot of research and they all have the same structure. Buy it for £350 or rent it for £50 a week. Right?
Okay.
Or there's the third option. You know, the Austin Aries TNA third option.
Mm-hmm.
Rent it for £5 a week. What's the catch, you reckon?
Yeah, what is the catch?
You've got to rent it for a year.
So you've got it for a year. £5 a week. And that yes. is quick maths. Hold on.
Come on, come on.
5 times 52. £260.
Exactly. £90 cheaper than buying it outright. I went for the third way, because that's what Austin Aries would have done. And he's a guy who's got things figured out from what I can tell on social media.
Yeah, nothing.
Do you think that was what would you have gone for?
That just completely makes sense. Well, that makes sense. That's what I would have gone for as well. It's the most cost-effective option, because you would either buy it outright, and I suppose the argument is, because if you rent it for another year, then you spent £520 when you could have bought it outright for £350, right? So I kind of get the argument to have bought it outright, but at the same time, do you always need one? I suppose I probably would.
Do I need it for a whole year?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Okay, so I struggle with this because I don't get bothered by heat. So I have,
and you've got so much heat on you for all your sneezing and what else? Wearing scarves.
I don't. I people keep telling me that it's really hot at the moment, and I think it's actually quite fine. I've got the window open at the moment. Actually, yesterday I had the window shut and the door shut. And it's all right.
You are insane.
So I've never felt the need to have an air conditioning unit. The only time I've ever felt an air conditioning unit was necessary was that day I was filming with Steve, because bloody hell, it was warm in there. And actually, like, that hot summer that we had a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. 2 years ago.
Which was... Yeah, to you, that was gross, and that we could have done with some. But apart from that, like 30 degrees, that's fine.
Well, it was 37 degrees that year. It's 32 degrees now, which means it's 35 in my flat. I'm not exaggerating. So the wrestling world, you know, attracts all sorts of folks. I once met the opposite person to you. He's like, say you're Bruce Willis in Unbreakable, doesn't mind the heat. This guy could die if he gets too hot. He's your Mr. Glass. Yeah, and this guy has no hair anywhere. No hair on his body.
Is it
he has no eyebrows. No. No, you don't know him, I don't think. It was I met him at the New Japan show, the one in the ice rink, which was coincidentally the first day I ever met Andy Datsun in the flesh. They were different people, though. Andy was weirder. Funnily enough. But he, like, this is how the conversation started. It was a hot day, and he was like, oh my God, it's so good to be in here. This is my dream. It's wrestling in an ice rink. Obviously, they didn't have the ice, but that's probably an ITV show somewhere down the line. Mm-hmm. But it was Simon very Cowell's cool already, in there.
It's on Simon Cowell's wall of ideas.
Yeah. And he didn't have any nipples either. It was like he wanted to show me all of the things that were unique about him. He was like, yeah, I can't sweat. And I was like, oh, right, right. And I was like, yeah, I've got no hair either. I looked at him. Who? Yeah. Now you mentioned it wasn't a Pizza Express. And we did have loads of underage girls with us. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You haven't got any hair. Wow. I was like, that's crazy. He was like, want to see what else? And he just pulled up his top. And he was like, what's missing? And I was like, I was looking at his bare chest. I was like, and then and like a crowd of people had gathered like, because they all knew, because he tells everybody. It's like, what's missing? What's missing? I was like, I don't know. Nipples. I haven't got any nipples. Like, great. Weird.
What a round of whose nips are these?
Yeah. That's rubbing
or,
his face.
Or not. Well, let's get into the image. I was actually going to... Have you watched the trailer for Jackass Forever?
No, I haven't.
Do you want to do a live reaction to it?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, of course he does. Should we do it for the outro or do you want to do it now?
Yeah, it's outro. That's about the right split, isn't it?
Yeah.
Give something for people to hang around for.
Let's get into the main show itself. Talking about AEW Dynamite, Fighter Fest Night 2. But first up, all the news about everyone signing for AEW. Here is the show.
Daniel Bryan to AEW. I'm not going to say the other one. Until it's official. Until it's official. Because we don't know what's going on, Luke. It could just be a text. It could just be a contract. It could just be two teams of lawyers going back and forth for several months. It could be dates laid out. The first 2 years of creative plans, working relationships with New Japan, CMLL, AAA, Impact, Ring of Honor, a return to Ring of Honor. At the end of the day, that's just chit-chat. That's not a serious offer. So I will not, I've decided not to say my catchphrase, someone to somewhere confirmed, until it's happened. But the reports are CM Punk's in talks with AEW. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Cohen. We will be reviewing AEW Dynamite, the full episode, which was absolutely brilliant, I thought. But we thought we should probably talk about the other bit of news that broke last night. First, it was Fightful saying that they've heard CM Punk is in talks to return to the ring. And the speculation, or at least that's what everyone thinks, is that it's AEW. And then Dave Meltzer corroborated saying, yes, they've been having talks. But so's everyone. Daniel Bryan, however, bodyslam.net has said he is 100% already signed with AEW. PW Insider, of course, reported earlier this week that WWE had removed Bryan from all their merchandising and licensing plans. And not only that, we have a confirmed date. It's going to be the 22nd of September show in New York on Dynamite.
Yes. So we should also say as well that it is confirmed, is, you know, very much in Bucky O'Hare bunny ears, because it's not 100% confirmed until Bryan Danielson or All Elite Wrestling or Tony Khan, whoever it is, makes an official statement. That is when it is Bryan Danielson to AEW confirmed. Going by the reports, however, it feels like this is very much the case. And I know there will be some people who will be like, oh man, I really wish that the wrestling news media hadn't spoiled this, this, that, and the other. Do you want to hear my theory on this one?
Yeah.
Are you still with us?
I don't know whose internet's bad. Is it mine or yours? We've both been bad recently.
I don't know. I think that one might have been, it could have been on. Okay, you're back with me now. So, do you want to hear my theory on this?
Yes.
Tony Khan is the one who's leaking the news.
Why would he do that? And why to, no disrespect to bodyslam.net. Why would you do it there? Why wouldn't you do it to Wrestling Observer?
Because it would have been too obvious if it was Meltzer. But here's my thing. Here's my thinking.
This is some deep conspiracy, yeah.
Oh,
right
100%.
Here.
Oh, totally. I've got a tinfoil hat ready to pop onto my head right here.
I think it's WWE leaking these stories. So when they have these shows and these people don't debut, it makes them look rubbish.
Well, no, here's my theory. Here's my thinking. So they haven't sold out the New York show yet. They've sold over 15,000 tickets, but it's not sold out yet, though. And if you've now got the news coming out that the debut is going to happen at that New York show, what a better way to make sure you get that full sellout?
Well, I mean, it's still quite a way off, though. We're still 2 months out, almost exactly today. We are, isn't it? It's the 22nd. Yeah, 2 months exactly today from that show. So you don't think it's true?
Oh, no, I do think it's... I think there is certainly a nugget of truth to this. So Meltzer was saying on Wrestling Observer Radio, what, sort of adding on to a lot of this story that was going on.
Mm.
And like, if you go and listen to the show, Meltzer knows something, but isn't anything.
Yes. He's known this for weeks, because I said in my news yesterday, well, you know, PW Insider are saying this, but Meltzer has been doing this thing recently. He's like, I think they've got some big plans coming up. I don't know anything. So, yeah. That's just a feeling. I was like, Dave, you are so bad at hinting at this stuff.
So what Meltzer said on Observer Radio today is that he was told back in May by Tony Khan that there are four big signings that are happening this year. One of them is Andrade. One of them was Black. he figures one of the other one is Punk. He said, so this new one must be Daniel Bryan, or must be Bryan Danielson. And so, and like his timeline,
so Black wasn't released until June. So yes, maybe that was.
But but like he was saying that there was going to be four big signings this year. The other thing is, he said to this, well, apart from Chavo. Anyway, the other thing that you're saying about this is that Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson, as he will be known when he returns to whatever promotion he does do, has been negotiating with only three companies: WWE, AEW, New Japan. And essentially, what all of this boiled down to was which company was going to have the relationship with New Japan, because that's what Bryan wants to do. Meltzer said, if it weren't for COVID, Bryan would already be in New Japan. He'd already done shows with them since he left back in April, May time. So he said that whichever company was the one who had the relationship with New Japan, that's where Daniel Bryan would end up with. And as we can, very comfortably say from this show, AEW is the company that's got the connections with New Japan. They've got the relationship with New Japan. They did a title change, a New Japan title change on this very show. And Nick Khan is, he is moving, he is shaking, he was trying to get deal done. That's why they were speculating that they were trying to get that deal with New Japan through, because with the New Japan deal means we can re-sign Daniel Bryan, stop him going to AEW. And I think he's now saying that, I think some people are realizing that if you go to WWE, that's it. That's all you're working with. You go to somewhere else, everyone is now working with everyone else. And all of a sudden, all of the doors are open and there's so much more opportunity for you.
It's a lot more fun. And I think that's definitely what's motivating Bryan. There's a really fun, revealing story about Bryan from years and years and years ago, which is when he joined WWE. Everyone takes a test to sort of score their personality in some kind of sociopathic way that WWE likes to do. And he scored incredibly low on the, what's the word when you try and get ahead? Like the aspirational metric?
Yeah.
Well, he's obviously a very driven person because he's, mastered a craft, but ambitious, that's it. He is just not ambitious. He just loves wrestling, and through that love, he has floated to the top like a delicious bit of chunky cream on my unpasteurized blue milk. But what is the most fun version of this to him? He's always said he wants to wrestle where's the arena in Mexico for CMLL? He wanted to go there. He wanted to wrestle in New Japan. He had like a dream list of people he wanted to wrestle with. So yeah, I think this is, Bryan's gone there because he wants to have fun as his last run of wrestling, really. I can't remember what age he is. Whereas CM Punk, I think it's, CM Punk will say a lot that it's not monetarily driven, because he said last year he would joke in like little Reddit threads, AMA thing he did for a movie, I just need a big bag of money to come back. Shawn Michaels way, bit of a mercenary. But then later on he softened. He was like, if the creative's right, I think it's more geared towards money, but that's not to say creative doesn't play a part.
Do you know who I think did really well on those tests in WWE?
Look at this guy, the baby face. I mean, Punk and Bryan are gonna have a significant needle move on the ratings, I think. But get that guy back up again. Nothing like Riker. Nothing like if Riker was all elite. Have we commented how Jackson Riker has the same name as my other favorite thing at the moment? William Riker.
Oh, we haven't. You're absolutely right. He is not. He has got the same name as Jonathan Frakes' character from Star Trek.
And a beard. He's the one. Okay.
So the CM Punk thing. Mm-hmm. There was I wanted to get your thoughts on this, because Meltzer said on Wrestling Observer Radio, which I thought was a really interesting point, which is that, and Sean made this point yesterday as well, because some people have said if Punk doesn't debut at All Out now, everyone is going to dunk on Sean. And Sean made the point, I don't know why they would. I never said he would debut at All Out. I've just said that they're in talks and it's very likely that he may end up there. It's everyone else that is adding on the, it'll be at All Out, it's in Chicago, this and the other.
It's an educated guess.
It's an educated guess. But if Punk doesn't debut it all out, don't go and have a pop at Sean. It's because it's not his fault. But Meltzer made the point, and I kind of agree with this. I'd debut him on the TV the week before, because the week before is in Chicago. So you do it on the Dynamite before. Maybe that gets, you know, that might pop yourself a rating because people might tune in, pick up the phone. Oh my God, have you seen CM Punk is back? Social media, this, that, and the other. I'm old, so I'm talking about calling people on the phone, where actually the reality is people will just tweet about it and then someone might tune in to watch the show. And then maybe then you get a really big pay-per-view buy rate off the back of it. That is a smart bit of business, as opposed to having him show up on a pay-per-view because people might think that he might show up.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if you debut him on a pay-per-view, you're doing two things. You're not getting the buy rate for that pay-per-view that you could have got if you promoted him in advance, as we saw with the Christian Effect, although he wasn't named Christian. But we've got a huge Hall of Fame-worthy level signing, they said, for Revolution. And that generated significant interest in that pay-per-view going in. So yeah, either announce CM Punk's name in advance and you get that buy rate, plus pay-per-views by their nature, far more limited audience than TV. If Punk turns up on TV in the first hour or at the top of the start of the second, people are going to turn over. That's going to spread like wildfire. Oh my God, have you seen this happening there? And boom, you can pop a big rating there. And let's be honest, these days, TV ratings are what matter most. So I totally agree with you there. I guess, do you tease that someone's coming? Maybe with a ch-ch-ch? Or do you fully have Punk walk out? Or do you wait for the pay-per-view to have Punk come out?
I would do it on TV. I would do it on TV, and I would do it the same way. Not the same way you did Malakai Black, where you, like, you know, you dim the lights and then lift back up and he's standing there to have a feud with Cody. Not saying you do that, but I would say, like, do on TV. Don't pre-announce that something is coming. Just have the and then, you know, playing probably Cult of Personality for him to come out to. Because they can buy the rights.
Easy.
Exactly. Like, I would say, if I'm TK, I'm looking to get the Final Countdown by Europe, and I'm looking to get Living Colour's Cult of Personality on my playlist, ready to go.
If people aren't aware, because this was a while ago now, Bryan Danielson is Daniel Bryan. We will call him that now, I guess, just to get used to it, because surely that's what he's going by. He won't be Malakai Danielson or anything like that. His entrance music on the indies was, yes, the Final Countdown. You know what? It's actually a masterstroke that they brought out Christian the way they did. It's a red herring, Luke.
It's a red herring.
It was a long-term red herring.
It was just like when Tony Khan put out that tweet saying, it's going to be like, what was it, like the shifting tides or whatever it was. And then everyone was like, oh my God, I can't believe we heard about the return of Pac. What are you talking about? Like, no, Tony was just planting them seeds. He was planting the seeds for everything.
So this is, you know, going back that year, we've had a lot of stuff happen in the pandemic era of AEW, which that wonderful video package Leaving Daly's Place really laid out for us. You know, FTR, Sting, Kenny Omega winning the title, Impact, New Japan. But I think they've timed this well, because they could have talked to Punk, you know, what's different this year than last year, apart from fans? So you're having Punk and Bryan come back. Well, you know, if this happens at the same time as fans, this is a pretty hot looking next, like, close to 2021. And what's I'm most excited about, really, is Cody has got his next 4 months of programs laid out. He beats Malakai Black. He beats CM Punk. And then he beats Daniel Bryan. And then he can go back on the stipulation and beat Kenny Omega for the AEW title for America.
Do you know, I was just thinking then, it literally just popped back into my mind, but I was transported back to early 2018 when they'd announced that they were going to be doing the Bullet Club show, as we were calling it back then, because it didn't have an official title at that point. We were just calling it the Bullet Club pay-per-view. And we said on that show, man, if they want to sell out those 10,000 tickets, do you know what main event they need? CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan. Because Bryan hadn't gone back to WWE at that point, and Punk was obviously still, you know, the free agent CM Punk that he has been since 2014. Because as you correctly pointed out in the WrestleTalk news, he hasn't done anything since 2014.
That's what I like. Yeah, he's laid low. No one's seen him. Yeah, no,
he made a couple of movies. Made a couple of movies, but has done nothing related to sports or wrestling since 2014. Mm. Very, very smart man as CM Punk, knows his worth and all that. He isn't trying to change the culture anywhere else. We were saying that is how you're going to sell out those 10,000 tickets. I mean, we got massive amount of egg on our faces because they didn't get them, they did sell out quite comfortably so in about half an hour. But it's kind of fun, isn't it? Because like that show, All In, was the genesis of All Elite Wrestling. Tony Khan was backstage at that show and suddenly thought, like, huh, maybe I could start a wrestling company. Hey, Kenny, Cody, Matt, Nick, let's have a little chat here. And then three years later, we're now having a chat about having Punk and Brian actually appear on the program that was born from that show.
Well, the reports at the time were Khan had a list of people he wanted to start AEW with, and at the top of that list was CM Punk.
Yeah.
But Punk, you know, they just didn't give him a certain definitive enough offer. And that's their fault.
Do you want to explain that joke? Because it's something that you and I joke about a lot.
But Punk just said, hey, look, like whenever people ask Punk in interviews or stuff about AEW talks potentially there, he said, yeah, we've talked, but it's only a couple of texts here and there. Like, just don't text me saying, hey, you interested in coming to AEW? And Cody then did an interview quite annoyed afterwards, being like, these were serious talks.
Like we had contracts laid out. We had monetary values laid out. We had dates laid out.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I don't know. You don't know who's true. Maybe Punk was telling the truth there. So what else is there to talk about this before we get into people's ultra chats, omega chats for the AEW? Yeah. Obviously, Colt Cabana and Punk had a falling out. They were bestest friends. It's, you know, Colt's a lovely guy. I think, you know, it's a large company. There's plenty of people there. And they're both professionals. I'm sure they can. I don't think that will be a problem at all. I've seen some people say AEW seems like a very nice place to work. There doesn't seem to be that backstage politicking. Everyone's very happy generally. But Punk is notoriously quite difficult to work with. Is that because it was the system he was in? Will he thrive better now he's a bit older, a bit wiser, in a place where his creative concerns are listened to, you'd think? I don't know.
Do you know what I do know, though? Is I would like people to pull their thumb out their ass and give us a little thumbs up as we head into your Omega chats. We've got 2,200 people currently watching the stream, and only 200 of you have pressed the thumbs up. So come on, everyone. Press the thumbs up. Help us get into that YouTube algorithm, because the more you press that thumbs up, the more people end up coming in.
And also subscribe too, because we are quite close to 50,000, are we not?
Less than 500 away from 50,000.
Oh my God, people, come on. Give us a good time. Show us a good time.
Yeah.
Subscribe also, and give us your thumbs.
The last thing to say on the CM Punk thing is that like the obvious answer is just to, you know, make them a tag team. You know.
Oh, how just, like, will they coexist? Oh, that's another thing. Just very, very quickly. I've seen like a lot of people fantasy book him because I was like, you know, like who should Daniel Bryan face first when he comes in? Obviously Cody, but I posed the question anyway on the WrestleTalk news. A lot of people were like, oh my God, have that Bryan come out and then Punk jumps him, or like, oh my God, I want their first feud to be together, or maybe a tag team. I mean, oh my God, I want nothing less. I've seen that. I don't think that would motivate either guy. I think they want to work with new people, new programs, new start like styles of wrestling. I think, you know, you have Punk debut, then a month after you have Brian debut, and you keep them apart. Maybe they pass like ships in the night, you know, just one walking down for their match, the other one walking out, and they just have a glance. And they do not touch until the next year's pay-per-view.
Yeah, I would agree.
Right, let's get into your Omega chats. There are a lot of them, and we haven't even started the show review. Bloody hell, wrestling's gone crazy this week. Just when think.
It's because fans are back. Fans are back, so you beat Karrion Kross in 90 seconds, and you tease that CM Punk is coming back to wrestling. That's what happens when fans are there.
I just, because I went to bed genuinely excited, because I think a lot of people know this is very important to me. Genuinely a bit giddy like a kid. Couldn't get it out of my head. Wake up this morning, ooh, still excited. Look at my phone, Daniel Bryan. I'm like, what the hell's going on, guys? I've got to meditate now. That's my morning regime. I won't be able to think about anything else.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Right. Anthony Velasquez says, I'm very excited that AEW has added Daniel Bryan, and I look forward to his debut. Also, the possible addition of CM Punk will be huge for AEW. Nate S., before everyone gets too excited about Bryan Punk, keep in mind they may have had talks about plans and dates, agreed on money and other terms, but was a legitimate offer made? Not buying it this time. You'll have to say that bit.
Punk Bryan to AEW confirmed. OMG, it's happening.
Eduardo Sorens. First of all, you guys are the best. Thank you, Eduardo Sorens. Second, next week, AEW is coming to North Carolina. And I'm going to the show. I'm so excited. That looks like a hell of a card, Eduardo.
Well, doesn't it, Jess?
Third, I would like to know how you guys will book Bryan and CM Punk's debuts this freaking company.
I mean, first off, on Eduardo's point there, they're going to do the North Carolina gimmick, right? Because I feel like we haven't done the North Carolina gimmick for a while, but surely, like, unless you don't do North Carolina, like
South Carolina for the heat. to quickly answer your question, Eduardo, I think Paige loses in All Out, and Punk comes out to challenge Omega, or do you have an angle? But that's awkward. I don't want him going right into that picture. Brian, I don't know.
Punk Page is the first feud of, because we, you know, Punk straight edge and like feuding over Page over his alcoholism. Oh. Like surely that's sort of written.
Perfect.
I made the point actually on the Money in the Bank live stream reactions with Alex, Adam, and Laurie that I don't think that Page should win it All Out. And I got pretty much crucified for those comments. I was like, Page has to win. Like, there's no other option for Page to win.
There is another option. He loses and his self-destructive behavior goes on longer. Peter Mullins, 2 days ago, I hit an accidental running knee on my dishwasher and dislocated my kneecap.
Oh, crikey.
Oh no. Did you hear Michael Cole in the background shout, the knee? My wrestling mates now shoot. Don't believe me that I didn't get overly excited about Danielson's comeback. Not sure if I worked myself into a shoot. Stephen Duggan, can't handle all this news. Is it wrong that the first match I'd want after Punk and Brian debut is Punk versus Brian? But seriously, why would you have them on the card post All Out? I sort of answered both of those, but yeah, I want Punk and Brian too, but that's not what we need. Different things. Will Campbell, if Punk is indeed signing with AEW, I think he'd most likely debut All Out in Chicago, or maybe the 1st of September's Dynamite. Also, I'm taking my sister to AEW Grand Slam in September for her birthday, and possibly seeing Daniel Bryan debut at that show would make it even better. Awesome.
Yeah, so
it's
cool.
Polo.
That New York show, that New York show, man.
It's Polo says, hey guys, love your reviews. It is the only way I keep up with Raw, and I love hearing your thoughts about AEW. How would you guys book the debut of Bryan Danielson and CM Punk? Also, if Bryan debuts without the final countdown, I will cry. Sorry, I hope you don't mind. We've answered that quite a few times. I think a lot of these questions will be about that. I haven't come up with a better idea. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Christopher Jazzcat, I'm a long-time ROH fan. In the early 2000s, when WWE started to go downhill, I turned to ROH for an alternative. Both Punk and Bryan were incredible in their Ring of Honor runs. I'm beyond hyped. Chance, you're going to get your effing head kicked in. How does that chant go?
Oh, I mean, this is your territory, man. This is when you were into Ring of Honor.
I'll just do a few more. Bobby Stevens, Double or Nothing 2022, CM Punk versus AEW champion Bryan Danielson inside the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium in front of 80,000 people. 80,000! Peter Mullins again, these are great signings for AEW to avoid license fees. CM Punk has the rights from the band to Cult of Personality, he used it in UFC 2, and Ride of the Valkyries was written by Wagner. But I know how to pronounce Wagner. In 1856... Even Vince can't sue history, I think.
I like
he
that
won't come out
is,
with that.
No, that guy's name was also spelled Wanger.
Wanger. no, I think he'll want to come out to the final countdown. Oh, yeah. And Matt Hennessy, finally for now. AEW has a stacked roster with Omega, Page, Mox, Eddie, Pack, Bucks, Hardy, Cage, Pack, Lucha Bros, MJF, Christian, Lance, Sting, Allen, Cassidy, Miro, Guevara, Black, Andrade, FTR, LAX, and others. To get Punk or Bryan is big, but to sign both would be insane. I love AEW.
Yeah, I mean, I think like I've seen a lot of people say that the roster's too bloated, it's too many ex-WWE guys, you know, the usual arguments that tend to come out whenever AEW does make a signing and everything like that, but like, I mean, put yourself in a business mind. If you have the option to sign Punk and Bryan, are you going to be like, nah, do you know what? I don't think we need to, really. We've got my tummy's full enough. I don't think I want to sign the two biggest names available. No, I'm all right, Tar.
It's like Adam Blompier just sitting there. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you sign him in? What was I going to say there? Oh, actually, our Rob P., how would you book Luke Gallows in a feud with CM Punk and the Elite? I didn't even think of their shared history together.
And Serena Deeb.
Oh, my God.
Jay they're Mercury's basically all there. Apart from Mercury.
Oh. Well, I don't like people going back to stuff, so, and I don't think Punk would either. So just one more thing before but get all your Ultra Chats in, please, to WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read them all out before the end of the show that are over $5. But how does this change the trajectory of Dynamite? Dynamite's beaten the first boss of NXT. Now it's got its sights on Raw.
It's already beaten them in the demos. But it's not been in those
overall viewership. I'm talking.
It's not been him in the. I was going to say it's not been him in the overall viewership. I mean, are you trying to say that when are they moving to Monday nights? Is that your
No. I'm just thinking. It's hard to see if people are genuine ratings movers these days. Andrade wasn't.
Britt Baker got the highest rated segments last week. That's why she was the top of the hour this week round.
But, you know, in general, Nobody seems to affect numbers. Like, Edge coming back to SmackDown hasn't really changed anything. But how much do you think Punk and Bryan add in viewership?
I don't know if it does. I don't know if it adds much, to be honest, because I think that wrestling, it feels like wrestling is at a... We've hit a glass ceiling in terms of the amount of people who are actually interested in watching wrestling. I think in terms of like what we do here on YouTube has a ceiling. I think that what they're doing on TV has a ceiling. I think Raw is comfortably always going to draw 1.5 million viewers, regardless of what happens. I made this point about Impact when we did the Raw review a couple of weeks, on Monday, in fact. Impact, no matter what they did, drew 1 million viewers. I think that Raw, no matter what they did, are always going to draw 1.5 million viewers, because I think that's the base level of people. NXT, no matter what they do, will always draw 500,000 people. And it may do more than that, and it might do way more than that, but there will always be that base level there. So I think for AEW, they've got a base level, and they may do, like, some weeks will go up, some weeks will go back down, but I don't think that base level is ever going to change. I don't know whether CM Punk coming back, because, like, it was 2014, and all those fans that were there are gone. Are they going to come back?
Are they gone or are they lapsed? Because anecdotally, I have at least 3 friends who would start watching again.
I mean, Pete said...
Who left 5 years ago.
Yeah, Pete said that he would start watching the show if Punk and Bryan signed.
And what you've kind of got a good 1-2 punch there. You've got Punk, who had 2010 to 2014, where there were far more people watching back then, remember, just WWE in general. So you've got that, and you've got Bryan, who was in the main event of this year's WrestleMania. So if you were a bit younger and you weren't around for the Punk stuff and you don't get the Punk stuff, you've got a Bryan. So they've got the last decade of super over organic WWE babyfaces.
Okay.
Potentially coming into their company.
But to possibly counter that, Bryan wasn't a needle mover on SmackDown either. Just like you said, Edge wasn't. Like, Bryan being on shows wasn't moving numbers in the same way.
Because good point. WWE, or say SmackDown, it's at the 2 million mark. So you've got your 2 million people who tune in, Fox, the exposure, whatever. AEW's down here. So, like, maybe the 2 million limit at the moment for wrestling in general, it's 2 million. But that's not to say this 2 million, a portion can't go over here, who aren't currently watching AEW because of the name recognition of Bryan and Punk.
And I'm not saying that there aren't going to be people that move across, because I think there will be. I would also argue as well, of that 2 million, that's not 2 million wrestling fans. That's 2 million people who are watching Fox. Mm-hmm.
What? Bryan and Punk, though.
Yeah, I mean,
Bryan and Punk.
It may make it, but that might also just be us in our wrestling bubble, who just think that because we're in the wrestling, because, like, they're going to move a rating. Andrade is going to move a rating. Aleister Black's going to move a rating. And it sounds like they don't. So it may just be that we're inside the bubble and we're not seeing the bigger picture. But I could also be incredibly wrong. Not take Jackson Ryker off the screen.
This is the needle mover.
I think a few people mentioned about the age thing. They're younger than the WWE champion is currently. So let's not bring age into question.
Oh, there's so much hypocrites. They criticize WWE for just creating moments. Yeah, but bad moments that have no connection to anything. They criticize WWE for relying on old part-timers. Yes! I think these guys are going to come in to elevate the AEW roster. Like Kenny Omega, as much as I love him right now, he's a big star in AEW. He's a big star in wrestling. He has not broken out. Maybe in video games, sure, but, you know, not mainstream. If he starts wrestling alongside a Punk, alongside a Bryan, that is gonna make even Omega feel significantly bigger.
To wrestling fans who are already here.
Shut up, Luke. All right. Now, we will get into the AEW review shortly, but first, I must promote tonight, or today if you're in America, the Fan Quizzle Mania. It's happening over on WrestleTalk's Patreon page. $10 a ticket. And it's not just $10 for that. Of course, you get all of our exclusive podcasts, shout-outs, loads of things. So please go over there and check it out. Adam Blompier and Andy Datson are hosting, and I will be competing. everyone, all of the fans who are in it, you know, you join an app, we'll walk you through it. We all compete against each other. It's like timed responses. It's a good time.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. So good.
Right. Let's try and get through this episode as quickly as possible, because, of course, we're already 35 minutes into the show. The first match was Chris Jericho versus Shawn Spears. Great crowd singing along to Jericho's entrance music from the start. The stipulation, it was an MJF designated Labors of Jericho, which means he got to pick the stipulation. And Shawn Spears could use a chair. Jericho could not. But in the end, Jericho's arm was worked over. Tully Blanchard distracted the referee as Shawn Spears tapped to the walls. Sammy Guevara chased off Tully, and Jericho won with a Judas effect.
Yeah, fun stuff this was. I really, really enjoyed the match. I thought the finish was really good, because the whole gimmick was Shawn was allowed to use the chair, Jericho wasn't. So Spears set up a chair in the corner so he could ram Jericho's head into it. But it was actually Jericho that rammed his head into it. So Spears' own stipulation worked against him to allow for the Judas effective elbow for the win. So I thought it was a really, really fun and creative finish.
MJF was fantastic on commentary. Not because he was funny. He was very funny. What do you call a hot girl in Texas, Luke?
A tourist.
He also was very good at just getting over the story of the match. And not just the story of the match, but the story of Jericho's labors overall. Because, yeah, sure, he could survive this match. He might survive the next match and the next and the next. But by the time he gets to MJF, that injured arm of Chris Jericho's is going to be hanging by a thread, he said. And what is MJF's finishing move?
Yes,
the Soul of the Earth armbar. But we got our next... I did not see this coming. Labor of Jericho. Yeah, I was like, maybe it's going to be against an Inner Circle member. You were like, it's going to be against all the Pinnacle members. Nope, it's against Nick Gage.
Did not see this coming whatsoever. This was an ink, and like the crowd pop for this was absolutely awesome. Jericho he's a very, very smart man, is Jericho. We saw this when he left WWE and, you know, he went over to New Japan. Who was the person he wanted to work with? Kenny Omega. Why? Because Kenny Omega is the person that the dirt sheets and everyone is writing and raving about, right? So this is the seven-star bout machine, you know, this and the other. Of course he's going to work with him. Who's the next people he starts to get in bed with? The Young Bucks. Why? Because everyone is talking about the Young Bucks. He becomes best friends with the Young Bucks, Y2 Jackson and all this sort of stuff. He basically like becomes friends with them, goes with AEW because it's the hottest thing. Who is the guy that everyone is currently talking about at the moment because of the Dark Side of the Ring documentary? Nick Gage. So of course, Jericho is on the phone to be like, bring him in. I want to work with the guy that people are talking about because that elevates me and it elevates the person I'm working with as well. Like he's a very, very smart man.
Did it with Orange Cassidy last year as well.
Absolutely. What a great show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not that familiar with Nick Gage apart from knowing he is an absolute psychotic wrestling presence that cannot be killed. He came out with a pizza cutter here. And as we saw later on, Jericho is bringing back the Painmaker gimmick.
Now, you've had this platform where you have said that the Painmaker gimmick was working us. Jericho knows it's crap, but he's working us because he's a heel.
Yeah.
Do you still believe that? Because Jericho seemed... I've always said that Jericho thinks this is cool. And I would argue that Jericho in this promo thought this was cool. This was his Cactus Jack moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he put me in a predicament there when he was very excited about his little hat and his goth makeup.
Yeah. Because it does look crap, doesn't it?
Yeah, and like Nick Gage looks legitimately terrifying, like a just normally terrifying nutter. Jericho looks like a dad having a midlife identity crisis.
Dad going to his 200th Kiss concert.
Yeah. Anyway, excited for next week. The first one of the very stacked things. Next up, we had Doc Gallows taking on Kaz. This was very short, really. Most of it took place in an ad break. The crowd were into it, but there wasn't much to pop for. Kaz lost when Carl Anderson got involved. brought out Kenny Omega and Don Callis for a promo to, you know, Kaz, you've been a thorn in our side. Hangman Page came out. Don Callis was like, you must be drunk. There's more of us than there are of you. Brawl ensues. Dark Order come down, chase off the bad guys.
Yeah, sets up the 10-man tag next week. I think as well, because it was Silver and Reynolds that are the ones who got the tag team spot, that they'll be the tag team that they're setting up for the against the Young Bucks should they win next week.
Not Eva Luna and Stu Grayson?
Well, I mean, I...
Big Smash Bros. Grayson, legacy.
Uno and Grayson would have probably been my pick first off, but I think like the fact that Reynolds and Silver were the ones who got the tag spot in this, that's what makes me think it's them. Also, like, because Silver has been so over very recently. It just feels like it feels like it's a smart move to give it to them, as much as I would love it because of the history that Smash Bros. Have with the Young Bucks.
Great shout out to Kenny here, because in his he's finding something stupid each week to do. And this week it was like, Kaz, well, the Elite Hunter has become the Don Callis whispered to him, the Hunted. And Kenny Omega was like, the Hunted. It's just such a really made me laugh that, like, when he was trying to get the belt collector chant over this week. Team Taz cut a promo earlier in the day with Ricky Stark saying there's going to be a huge celebration for him next week. Brian Cage effectively said, I'm going to interfere with that. Oh, we've got another age person. Didn't realize that until now. Brian Cage, Christian Cage, Hangman Page. Yeah. Nick Gage. Diamond Dallas Page.
I'm actually pretty sure that I can't remember who it is now that messages in every week with the Cage, Age, and Page thing. Has often said that they should bring in Nick Gage to add to the list.
Darby Allin had a match with Wheeler Yuta, just a sort of enhancement match thing. Probably could have been a women's match in this spot instead, but it wasn't really about Darby wrestling a match and getting an easy win after last week. It was some just brutal displays of offense on the outside when Orange Cassidy squared off against Sting and they just took chunks out of each other.
This wasn't much of a match. I think Wheeler Yuta's actually really good and Darby Allin's obviously amazing, but the crowd weren't like massively popping for this. But the second that Sting and Orange Cassidy squared off, the crowd suddenly went, oh my God, I did not. I do want this. I didn't know I wanted this, but now I do know that I do want this. And you're absolutely right. They both did. And when Sting drew first blood with the super kicks, I popped so big at home. Like I'm sitting here on my own, cup of coffee. It's, you know, 6:30 in the morning. I popped so huge for all of this. And when they did like the super kick stuff and then Sting, as you just did then, did a lethargic version of his chest beating spot, it made me laugh so much. This was probably my highlight of the whole show.
Very funny. Sting sold it perfectly. Like he was like full on serious, like he was having an actual fight. I thought, yeah, great stuff from everyone. Very funny. Recap of Mox and Archer's New Japan feud next. Just noteworthy because there's New Japan involvement. They got licensed to the footage. And we also saw Herculeo?
Hikuleo.
Bullet Club member in the crowd. He's tall. I should call him Hikuleo.
Did you hear Jim Ross get a boner like at the end of this show when he realized how tall he was when he got in the ring? Bloody hell, I heard it all the way. I heard it all the way there. The desk fall over.
Like, usually people go through the tables, not upwards at the table.
Good God, like how tall he is.
Then we got Britt Baker versus Nyla Rose for the women's title. It was fine. It was Britt Baker's first title defense. It picked up a lot near the end when they did some near fall stuff. I loved how in the crowd were into Britt Baker. Like, she is a genuine superstar. Like, it's amazing AEW have created such a genuine overall company star in Baker, considering how they've treated their women's division. Mm-hmm. But the match, the I never got into it, I'm afraid. And I thought the Eddie Guerrero spot where the title was chucked to Nyla and Britt Baker lays down, haha, yeah, Vicky Guerrero's outside. Love the idea of it. I just thought it didn't work because then Baker stood up like seconds after she laid down. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And there's a referee moment. Baker won with a lockjaw.
Yeah, there's a referee moment when he counted three, and the crowd sort of booed against that. The big takeaway from this for me is that this was at the top of the hour, and I think that shows a massive amount of confidence that AEW have got in Baker, because as I'd mentioned earlier, she was a ratings draw last week. She had the highest rated segment of anything else that happened on the show last week. She had the highest rated segment. So that's, it was a show that had Jericho on it. It was a show that had Kenny Omega on it. Like, that's a massive deal, right? So that's really good. Match itself, meh, that was all right. I thought it got really good by the end, particularly after she kicked out the Beast Bomb and stuff and got the lockjaw. There was also a moment at the start of this when Excalibur said, this is one of the most anticipated title matches. I was like, that's a lie, isn't it, Excalibur? You know that's a lie.
That grated with me as well. I was like, that is a very WWE thing to say.
Yeah.
I expect better from you, AEW. After that, we got a press conference segment, which really seemed to just be a conference because I couldn't see a single other person in that room. Nice idea. I thought, so it was FTR and Santana and Ortiz doing a sort of back and forth promo. I thought Santana's promo work was exemplary here. It was just over. Apparently it was an edited version. There's a full version on YouTube, which I haven't watched yet.
I'm putting this as an open letter to all wrestling companies. If you don't have any press there, don't do a press event, because it proper looks naff. It does, because it looks like you've got a couple of, you can tell that there's no press there at this press conference. Only do press conferences if you have press in attendance. This would have been so much better if it was Jim Ross sat down and then having an interview thing. Like, it wouldn't have looked so hokey because it's not a press conference. There's no one there. You're doing it to an empty room. It just looks a bit silly.
In all of AEW, this is actually one of my most anticipated matches ever.
Yep.
And I get the feeling it's going to be short-served. Just looking at that card next week, looking at the priorities, rightly so, prioritize the 10-man tag for the AEW title. Prioritize the Malakai Black segment. I'm a bit like, I wish this had a bigger build. I wish this had its own show to breathe on.
If it's not the opening match, I think it's really going to struggle, no matter where it goes in the rest of the card. Like, it may get top of the hour, but I don't know if it will. So it's and I think Jericho will probably take the opening slot, which means that you'll probably have that. I mean, 10-man tag's definitely headlining, which means they'll just sort of be in not a death spot, but a spot where it's, you're going to be like a lot of it in commercial break.
Yeah. After that, we got Andrade come out with a guy, no Vicky Guerrero, because he was announcing to Tony Schiavone. This was his big announcement that he's been teasing for like 6 weeks, 2 months now. His executive consultant, Chavo Guerrero.
Chavito.
Ooh, Lieutenant Loco.
I did pop for Lieutenant Loco coming out, former cruiserweight champion. The rest of the segments, Death Triangle come out. They had a bit of a sort of a promo war back and forth. Andrade was like, why do you work for PAC? And the Lucha Brothers were like, we don't work for them. We're a family. And we're going to have a little bit of a brawl in this and the other. You didn't seem that into this when you were talking about it in your review.
So I think nothing that Andrade has done so far has worked to the extent, has resonated with me to the extent I want it to. It all feels like less than the sum of its parts. And I've always had that problem with Death Triangle too. I like them all I like them all. But together, I feel they haven't really made a mark on AEW, despite them being excellent individually. And it's weird because if this was WWE, I'd be like, you're just chucking all the Latino people together in the Latino division. But here I'm like, PAC does not work here. This the Geordie accent cutting through all of this like Spanish language promo work, I think is odd. I hope Andrade wins and the Lucha Bros turn on Pac. I think I think the idea of them three together with Chavo is a far more overact.
I wrote in my notes, that wasn't the smoothest segment in the world, but I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it.
Because it wasn't the smoothest segment in the world, but I enjoyed Andrade sort of like doing promos in English and in Spanish. I like Chavo being out there. Like Chavo's a much better addition to his act than Vicky ever could be. I'm actually really into a feud between Andrade and the Lucha Bros. Like when someone asked us on our, when me and Denise did the show, so like, who would you like to see them feud with first? My instant, I was like, Pentagon. That's who I want to see him face, because pretty much Pentagon's my answer for anyone who comes into AEW. Should always be Pentagon. So I kind of get it. It's just like, I kind of agree with you. I don't think not all of the, they're not, it's not all hits with Andrade thus far. Hmm.
Referees broke up this brawl that never really actually got going. A recap of the dark match, not AEW dark, but AEW dark match from earlier in the day. It was like the Hardy Family Office were brawling with Christian and Jurassic Express, so they'll have a match next week. Then we got the Blade versus Orange Cassidy. We didn't talk about the angle at the end of the Alan Uter match, but Blade jumped Cassidy, knocked him out with the brass knucks. So that was a nice long multi-segment build. They have a decent match with one heinous bump from Orange Cassidy on the top rope. Gut-wrench powerbomb on the turnbuckle. Jesus. Statlander gets involved to get rid of Bunny because she was interfering. Blade accidentally collides with Bunny and Cassidy won with a Superman punch. And for poetic justice, hit Blade with the brass knucks with a Superman punch at the end. Very good. Hopefully it's the end of this feud.
3 points on this. I just want to clarify for anyone who was listening. Ollie didn't mistakenly call Wheeler Uta Alan Uta. He was saying Darby Allin. It's because you said it in the news as well, and I was like, you know, his name's for Alan Uter, right?
Alan / Uter.
Uter, that's Italian.
Good old Alan.
Alan Uter. Point two. This match was fine. It was pretty much okay. Third point, and this might be a very controversial point I'm going to add there. I think the Bunny is better at the Alexa Bliss character than Alexa Bliss is.
Ooh. Not even going to get into that. Backlash. Then we got the Jericho reveal of he's the Painmaker now. Rundown of next week's card, which looks insane. And the main event was Jon Moxley versus Lance Archer in a Texas death match for the New Japan IWGP United States title, which was fantastic.
So good. This was great. And like, you had the big Texan Lance Archer come into this match and he got a win in Texas, 1 week removed from Sammy Guevara also getting a win in Texas. What the heckins is going on here? Because the crowd, do you know what the crowd did, Ollie? They responded really well to their hometown boy getting a big win. I mean, wrestling logic dictates that's not the way you do this, right?
This is the tale of two companies. The same week, on Monday, we have, Keith Lee losing in his home state of Texas. Here, and also WWE burying their own brand by beating Karrion Kross. They can't even work with a company they own. Yet here, in the main event of AEW, the hometown guy goes over, and we saw a New Japan title change hands on an AEW episode. That is the starkest mirror image. Well, like, sort of, no, the opposite of a mirror image that I've seen so far.
And like, they played this so smartly as well. Like, Moxley is one of the biggest baby faces that the company currently has, right? But he's going into this match here against the hometown guy. So Mox effectively plays heel in this match. He is the one who's doing like the paradigm shift onto the concrete, mm-hmm. the stabbing with the fork, this and the other. They made Archer the underdog babyface in this match. And it totally worked because the crowd really bought into the Archer comeback. They really bought into like all the big spots. They did. When Archer got the fork and started stabbing Moxley with it, the crowd exploded because all of a sudden they felt like, oh, they might do a title switch here. And they did. They did the choke slam off the apron, through the barbed wire boards, through the tables, all the plunders, you know, Lego and mouse traps and all this sort of stuff. And they get the 10 count and he wins the title and the crowd goes nuts for it. It was so lovely.
Yeah, really, really great. Shout out to the there's a spot very early on. I felt like this was the Archer that first debuted in AEW. Like watching him here, I was like, where's this guy been since last September? Remember those segments where he'd just be walking around backstage and he threw a guy into the ceiling? And I don't think that guy ever came down. One of the first spots in this, they go straight into the crowd and Lance just picks up a fan and hurls him at Moxley. Like a missile.
So great. So good.
Of course it's a planted fan. Of course that's a wrestler. You could probably see his gear if you look close enough underneath the top. But it felt real in that moment. It felt chaotic. So hopefully this means the start of the old Lance Archer coming back. Because I feel like, yeah, he got sucked into the Sting vortex for a bit.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And yeah, the babyface push didn't really work before now. So hopefully that's good. And he will fight next week. Bullet Club.
Hikuleo. He's massive. Massive, he
Hikuleo.
Is.
He's tall.
He's taller than Lance Archer. Like, I mean, I joked about it earlier, but there's a reason why Jim Ross got a boner, like seeing this girl, because he got into the ring. He's bloody huge. Massive, he is.
So I gave this a 4 out of 5.
Do you know what? I agree with that. I agree because as much as I enjoyed Hoytomania running wild in the main event, I did kind of enjoy the rest of the show. Like I enjoyed Hoytomania running wild. I enjoyed the opening match. I enjoyed like bits and bobs throughout this, but it wasn't like the best show in the world, right? So like, I think you do need to save those 5 out of 5 sometimes. However, totally Community agree. Tab very much disagrees with us. 51% of the vote said it was a 5 out of 5 show. 33% said it was a 4 out of 5 show. And 11% said it was 3 out of 5. And then there's a few left over there for the other ones. But yes, 51% said that was a 5 out of 5 match. 5 out of 5.
Can you get that back up? Can you get that back up, please?
I can do it. Yep, 1 second.
We always see this on AEW. We don't necessarily see it with WWE, where the favorite vote is like at the top and then it tapers off around the ends. So for this instance, you'd have like 5 out of 5 as top, 4 out of 5, 3 out of 5, 2 out of 5, 1 out of 5 in that descending order. If it was a 3 out of 5 show, 4 and 2 would be the next ones, and then 5 and 1 would be the lowest. That's what we see on WWE polls. On AEW polls, it is always, you know, massively weighted to the top. It's usually 4s or 5s, then the rest are at 3. But 2 out of 5 is always beaten by 1 out of 5. And that, to me, just says there is a portion of our audience who votes on these polls that just never likes AEW. I don't know if they're watching the shows.
I don't think they are.
And they're subscribed for Raw.
I 100% would argue that they're not watching the show.
Or maybe they are watching the show and they genuinely hate AEW because of some, you know, I don't know, preconceived notions about the people involved in it.
Before we get into the Ultra Chats, I've got a question for you.
Can you remember the tallest man you've ever seen?
It's Hikuleo.
Hikuleo. Hikuleo! There we go. I'll just sing it. Also, before that, we've got our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon to give shout outs to. Remember, Patreon tonight, patreon.com/wrestletalk. Go there now. Get yourself a $10 ticket, which is really just a $10 membership for the month, where you get loads of other exclusive content like special podcast that me and Luke do, the whole back catalogue of years and years of that. Whereas tonight, it's the first ever Fan Quizzlemania on WrestleTalk, hosted by Adam Blompier and Andy Datson, and I'll be competing with you. Well, all the fans, we're going at it live. We're just going to be... just going at it.
Like Sting and Orange Cassidy.
Oh, yeah. And also, if you donate $25 a month or more, you get a wrestling nickname and shout-out on this very show. So thank you. I can take some kind of bump, Aaron.
Ross Pooper Scooper Cooper.
WrestleTalk's personal problem solver, Jamie Donovan.
The man with the scoops, Sean.
He's got two first names, Matt, Howard.
Black and Decker Dane.
Tower of London, Nigel Morris.
What's love got to do with it, Matthew Turner.
Name of your 2000s pay-per-view, Chaos Rising.
Splook's best friend, Adam Blamplate.
Arnie K, the K stands for the coolest dude ever.
And lastly, for this Hall of Fame class on July 22nd, 2021, Zarjeth.
Right, how many pages? 7 pages. Let's do this. Thank you, everybody, all so much. Stephen Duggan, First Feud, Brian versus MJF, and Punk versus Omega. I'm just as giddy as you, Ollie, buzzing over all this. Trenton Brown, give me Brian versus Orange Cassidy. 8-star match potential right there. Bobby G, CM Punk and MJF in promo wars. Brian Danielson and Omega, obviously. CM Punk versus Darby Allin. Brian Danielson versus Jungle Boy. Please, Luke, insert tagline. Thanks, gents, for all you do. I love
this company.
Niall Devine. Hey, chaps, really loved watching the podcast recently. AEW loves to put a veteran in a stable with rookies slash new faces. Taz, Jericho, Hardy. Should AEW do this with Brian and Punk? Which rookies would you put them with? And what vibe would the stables have?
Punk, I feel, needs to be an island unto himself.
Like, unless he does a Messiah gimmick.
Yeah, unless so. Yeah, like now that Moxley's with Kingston, he feels like, you know, he's now sort of, he's got a group now. So I think Punk being the lone island would be really, really fun.
Danielson, I don't know.
I think that Danielson finding a group of guys, like scouting them on Dark and Dark Elevation.
Ooh, yeah.
That he sort of like a load of young boys that he can add into, like, and sort of like, and train them up and be like the American Dragons, and essentially just be like sort of a stable of Daniel Bryan-esque wrestlers, Bryan Danielson-esque wrestlers.
I like that a lot. Kind of what he was trying to do with Drew Gulak and Chad Gable behind the scenes on SmackDown. Yeah, like an MMA gym. You will be fighting out of Bryan Danielson's corner. It's already Bryan Danielson. It's like the last 10 years didn't happen. I've clicked right back. Sari, okay, help the newbie out. Name 3 top CM Punk and Daniel Bryan matches I need to find and watch. Wow. Assume I know nothing. And matches can be from ROH or WWE eras, whatever you prefer. Well, Bryan Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness. Those are hella good. CM Punk versus Samoa Joe from Ring of Honor. That's probably Ring of Honor's best matches there covered. Punk versus John Cena at Money in the Bank 2011. Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. What show was it? Over the Limit?
I thought you were going to say the WrestleMania 12. Match for a second then.
No. though.
If Bryan, like, because you need to see the Bryan... The yes movement in full effect, you need to watch the Bryan WrestleMania 30. Like, the match with Triple H is awesome, and that main event with Batista and Orton is amazing. Match with Triple H to kick off the show is amazing. And then the main event with Batista and Orton is exceptional as well.
Yeah, there's plenty. RP Degnan, I hope I'm wrong, but I believe Punk wants to wrestle when I see it. We've been here before, and he backed out letting AEW and reporters take the backlash. I don't see why he wouldn't do the same here again, but I have a bias. I've never been a Punk fan. Well, I've been a Punk fan, and I'm not getting my hopes up yet either. Fran Chili, I got my tickets to all 3 Chicago shows last week. Dynamite, Rampage, and All Out. I live 10 minutes from the arena. Those are going to be legendary shows of the CM Punk content. act is final, contract is finalized by then. I really hope you can make it to Chicago. Hashtag jam that jam.
We're banned from going places, basically, at the moment. Yeah. I thought about this. You know, like, they announced next week Tony Khan's making a big announcement of, like, live shows coming up. And I was like, oh, I wonder if he'll announce, like, UK shows. Oh, that's not happening, is it? No. Ain't no one coming here.
Peter Mullins. I get that they might want to hold off on CM Punk returning until Chicago, mostly because he can trust AEW to book a good homecoming story. Sammy Guevara agrees. Lance Archer agrees. Keith Lee is still crying. Hashtag, don't you forget about Keith. Chris Wagstaff. MJF to come out to Cult of Personality on the Dynamite before All Out.
Yes! Oh, yes! I love that.
Little bit of an MJF promo, and then Cult of Personality hits again. Punk MJF feud as Punk's first. Imagine the promos, as neither would hold back at all. That is awesome. But there's, I want that first... that first music to have him. But yeah, that's a great idea. That's really good. See, I would have at the top of the show, Dynamite before All Out, Cult of Personality hits, MJF walks out and bashes the crowd, asking them, were you expecting someone else? Very good, everybody. Eon Mullane, Dynamite before All Out, MJF walks out to Cult of Personality. Then after he beats Jericho, out comes Punk as he's next to face MJF. Also for Brian, Ride of the Valkyries or Final Countdown? Final countdown.
All day.
Bacon Rasher. Hi again, lads. One for Ollie. If there was a cash flow issue to get Punk into AEW, would you take a cut in Khan coin to get him in? Also, I cannot wait to see Tama Tonga in AEW and for AEW to come to the UK. Those tickets will go quick. P.S. It is really hot. Jam that jam. Yeah, I mean, I'm already knee deep in Khan coin. I've lost a lot. Crypto's crashed, man. Lost a lot. You're like Baron Corbin by the weekend. Alpaca Nation 87. I would love to see Punk and Cassidy interact after the surprise of Nick Gage. Do you think the rest of the Trials of Jericho will be surprises or in-house opponents? Probably a mixture.
I think a mixture of both, I would say, yeah. I would love
surely someone from his past.
One of them has to be Lance Storm. If this is a Jericho retirement tour, one of them has to be Lance Storm. Like, maybe the final challenge has to be Lance.
Yeah. I don't know if I said this in the review, but it's kind of like my fancy booking pitch where he comes out as a different character in his career each week.
Yeah.
So surely Luther, right?
I mean,
that big one against...
I'm trying to think, what was his first match in WWE? Was it X-Pac or Road Dogg? It was one of those two. Because if it's Park, if it's Waltman, Waltman said he's looking to get back into the ring again.
Good idea. Jonathan Hedman, Punk versus MJF would be nice. I would not be against Punk using his AFI theme for a match against Omega. Just when it looks like WWE is going to kill my love of wrestling, AEW revitalizes it again. Misha Sumra, crazy swerve idea. All the rumors say Punk to AEW. What if they're actually planning to bolster their women's division by signing AJ Lee? Love the content. Looking forward to Fan Quizzle Mania tonight. It definitely won't be. Hashtag pants. I'll see you there, Misha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought about AJ Lee. I don't think it's a swerve for that, but I wouldn't be surprised if AJ Lee would then follow him along if all worked out.
Yeah, I would love to see that as well.
Our hot tag to you for...
Alistair Gammon says, I'll see if I can get this right first time round. Alistair Gammon says, updated fantasy booking, deep breath. Cage, Page, Engage, inside a steel cage, refereed by Diamond Dallas Page on the first main event of Rampage, Botchamania style. Jesus! This company. Bacon Rash said, hi guys, hope you're feeling better after the Raw review. JR must be having nightmares about already having to say Daniel Bryan on AEW. Punk faction with young lads, yes please. Finally, we now must get Page, Cage, Gage, Cage, and Page in a cage on Rampage. James Hanley said, I'm thinking that Gage and Cage should be in a rage in a cage with Page and Christian Cage for an age, and then we could all gauge on how the cage affects the rest of the wrestler's ability to turn the page. Jage that jam. Rage's Mayhem, what do you think of the chances are instead of Penta and Rey, members of LIJ, from either New Japan or Ring of Honor join Andrade? It'd be the perfect time for a trios title tournament for the inaugural champions to be crowned All Out. That's a great shout, actually. It's a really good idea.
We haven't had any Roosh involvement, like any Ring of Honor involvement in this yet.
No. Kid Phantom says, Pac versus Andrade at All Out, custody of the Lucha Brothers on a pole match. Jeff Mancini said, my roommate, who is of Hispanic heritage, when he saw the Death Triangle come out, goes, why the hell is the eight Mexicans and a hobbit from the Shire? She goes, it makes no sense, except for they are, barring Chavo, needing translators to understand. I think you might, pretty much all of them. Chavo's the only one who doesn't, I would say, even with Pac out there. Some people might need a translator as well. Charles Berg says, anyone else hear Jim Cornette have an aneurysm when Sting destroyed the wrestling business by having honestly fun with Orange Cassidy? Ollie, it's been close to a year now. I refuse to believe you can't find any buttermilk. Pancakes, Ollie. Pancakes. Make my recipe. Jam that jam. Peter Mullins said, you forgot the best part of the Sting Cassidy spot. Darby Allin running over and yelling, Dad, stop. You're embarrassing me. You always do this. Stop trying to be cool around my friends. God. The Cleaner, Kenny Shah, great episode of Dynamite. One of my favorite moments, Darby's reaction to Sting and Orange Cassidy. Dad, stop playing with the other kids. Hot tag back.
Sean Breslin, with AEW working with New Japan, AAA, Impact, etc., it almost feels like a return to the days of territories with companies working together and talent traveling through the companies to make the biggest matches possible with AEW at its center. Dead let's Punk 1905.
Right, let's not forget, WCW did shows with New Japan as well, like in the 90s. It's not like, this hasn't been dead for a long, New Impact were doing work with New Japan, like, you know, and Lucha Underground and things like that. There's always been these sort of, it's just, and now
I think what Sean, bigger. I think what Sean means is it's doing it right. Dead Punk 1905. Hey guys, found the podcast at Winter Is Coming Time. Big fan, not missed it ever since. Oh, great. Last few weeks of Dynamite have been great and would have still been even at dailies, in my opinion. All of this news on Punk and Brian makes this 34-year-old Scottish guy giddy. Bretton. Three out of five for me. A few average matches that felt clunky. Kaz match, women's title, Orange Cassidy. The Andrade segment was damaging to all, as it made little sense and felt disjointed. Loved Omega, though. Was brilliant with the Elite. Hunted line. Yes. Rain Tech. Hi, lads. Anyone notice how Miro thinks he's chosen by God and now we have an Antichrist character in Malachi Black? Do I smell a future feud? Ooh! I like the sound of that. Also, Daniel Bryan would be a great coach for all the young high-flying AEW talent. Hope he really comes. Bryan's not a high flyer. I think he would be a great submission technical, like, style, Jim.
It also means as well, if Bryan goes to AEW and with their relationship with New Japan, we're very close to Bryan versus Zack Sabre Jr.
It's going to be like watching a freaking orgy where you don't know where the legs begin and the hands end. Sorry. Forever grateful to you guys for these reviews. Always fun times. As a newer wrestling fan who got into it via AEW, I've lately gone back to educate myself in the history and matches of their roster prior. Next up, New Japan World. Now is the time, finally. 69 Intangibles, Sadie Deegan. Hello, you Thursday evening cowboys. I've been called that before. What an episode of Dynamite. I could listen to an hour of Penta and Andrade going back and forth in Spanish. Was shocked to see Sting and OC get so violent with their strikes. I have to say it, Kenny looks sexy with the stash.
He really does.
New Punk Rants. Man, last night was so good. Elevation and Dark helped. Sean Ross Sapp gave me hope for a Juventud Guerrero debut. MDK for life. Chavo without the horse, though. Archer is champ. AEW is making some seismic moves. Just got to make it juicy. New viewers, new Punk Rants inexplicably wants Juventud Guerrero to debut for AEW. He tells us every week. Matt Hennessy. How Paige should win the world title. He loses to Kenny All Out, making him 0-3 at the pay-per-view. Yeah. He lost to Jericho in All Out 19 and FTR at All Out 20. He then wins the TNT belt at Full Gear, then Paige versus Omega 3 at Revolution 22 for both belts. Paige wins and is the first AEW first triple crown champ. I don't like the idea of tying up both belts in that story. It's
same here.
Enough that could be a blood feud, but it would work better as a title. And New Punk rants again. AEW versus Impact, New Japan, etc. And all of these debuts and stars, I get 96-97 WCW vibes. Meanwhile, WWE just killed NXT and is warring with its fan base. It's so incomparable, it's kind of sad. I wish WWE was good, but Roman's carrying a dead body at this point.
New Punk rant. Complaining isn't conversation.
Marjo 32. You know they're going to debut some kind of... That's going to be Karrion Kross's... Is it Brody King? Brody King's going to... Is he Ring of Honor? Which Brody am
I Brody King's in Ring of Honor.
Who's the Brody in NXT? Who got the tryout matches, lost the North American Championship?
Oh, you're talking about Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed! Sorry. That's going to be Bronson Reed's character when he debuts on the main roster. He's going to be a YouTube reviewer of wrestling. And he'll criticize people's matches. Marjo 32. I know I'm working myself into a shoot, brother, but Cody is the American nightmare. What's more of a nightmare than an over-patriotic, delusional country who thinks they are always right? I mean, man, don't give me hope, Cody. Cody's a baby-faced Marjo. Dances with AK-47s. Matt's been pushing for Jeff to come to AEW. What stops Khan from paying any legal fees to have Jeff break contract and show he'd make his money back tenfold?
I don't think he would. Yeah, I don't think he'd make his money back.
Could bring the NXT title over, though. It's Polo says, do you guys think any other major indies like MLW or ROH will become a part of the AEW working relationship? Should we just start calling it the Axis of Good? Also, do you think any UK indies like Rev Pro or Progress will join the working relationship? Not Progress, they're owned by WWE. Yeah.
And Rev Pro already have a relationship with New Japan, so they might sort of come as a package deal, really.
Trenton Brown. I let out an audible, oh no, when that interview started, and I saw the back of the spiky leather paintmaker.
I know. When Jericho's back and he was like, he's a sadistic man, I was like, oh no. Oh dear, it's painmaker, cringe maker Jericho.
Cringe maker. Griff, 1988. You criticize a guy for his political backing, incorrect, of course, but when AEW bring in someone who has served 5 years in prison for bank robbery, it's genius. AEW and Y2J should be ashamed for giving this guy a platform to work on. I don't actually know that much, because I haven't watched that episode of the Gage Dark Side of the Ring. I believe in second chances and stuff. I certainly do. So hopefully the guy has turned his life around. He seems to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So totally. I think that sort of viewpoint's compatible and not inconsistent. James Hanley. Continuing on from my previous Ultra Chat, I would like to add that I was not making fun of Nick Gage. He is Nick Gage, and I'm a social worker in Middle America that bruises, cries easily. Also, it concerns me that all future plans seem to be around the men. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where, like, who's Britt Baker's next challenger.
Exactly. Yeah. Zachary Jenkins said, hey guys, why is the WWE contract signing team the worst when they lost Black and Bryan? And I remember when Luke saying they forgot to renew the Rock's contract in 2003. Just how is a billion-dollar corporation so bad with contracts? Also, where is Green T-Shirt Guy? Green T-Shirt Guy was at Money in the Bank. He was there. It was front row.
They are actually very, very good with contracts because, yeah, sure, some people get out of them early, but far, far many more are held against their will in that company.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, really, it's less of they're bad with contracts. They just didn't know who Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy were. They just thought they thought they were the same person. Pratik Sheeti, with the WWE NXT internal self-sabotage, can WWE still draw interest to their product? I believe it's possible, but it's the willingness that seems to be non-existent. They're selling out all of the shows that they're doing. I know they've cancelled a few of them, but all the other ones they're doing are selling out really well. So, yeah, the interest is still there for WWE shows. And they're still drawing ratings. So, yeah, I don't think there's too much of a problem with them. Bishop Badass says, completely unrelated topic. I know you guys do movies too. The new Dune trailer dropped today. How awesome does this movie look? Love you guys. Hashtag baby Oliver Lucas.
I was going to say, why did you suddenly say the twins in that Omega chat? But it does say, does Thin's movie look good?
Yeah.
Twins!
Twins, Basil! I haven't seen the new trailer yet. But I
love the old trailer. Yeah,
I mean it's got an uphill climb going up against the Jackass Forever trailer though, which is already you know movie of the decade,
and the Lynch first film. So yeah,
I mean I went to the Prince Charles to see the Lynch first film again. I mean obviously pre-pandemic and stuff, and I was there going like, it's a lot of exposition in the first 45 minutes of this movie, isn't it? Like
it's a dense world.
The film has a massive like opening narration voiceover explaining the world. Then it cuts to someone who just does some more exposition to other characters, and then cuts to someone who just does some more exposition to characters.
Are you sure you didn't watch an episode of Monday Night Raw?
Alpaca Nation says Nick Gage, Hangman Cage. I think it might be Hangman Page, Brian Cage, Christian Cage in a stable for all the ages. Bacon nice. Rasher, I think my Page Cage gimmick is over. Thanks for all you do, lads. We appreciate it. Jam that jam. Always appreciated, Bacon Rasher. And lastly, WTVS, it's a work. It's always a work. Just like it was a work when we all thought CM Punk was going to AEW and he'll show up on WWE Fox. Hashtag WWE, hashtag work.
Yeah, it won't even be to wrestle. It will be on the pre-show panel or the live reactions on YouTube. He'll change the culture. That's why I've not said it. I've not said the thing. Anyway, thank you ever so much for joining us here for this bumper episode. I hope you understand. There was a lot to go through. Thank you also for all of your very generous Omega chats. Well, he does help us out. And one other thing that helps us out, and will help you out as well, because it's going to be a lot of fun, is the Fan Quizzle Mania tonight on our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/WrestleTalk, sign up there at the $10 tier, and you will get to enter today's live Fan Quizzle Mania. All the details will be on a post there that you can find out. But it's sort of hosted by Adam Blompier and Andy Datson. I'll be playing along as well. We all play along at the same time. It's like a live quiz on an app. Awesome.
It is awesome. Thank you as well to our moderating team who do an amazing job keeping you all in check. If you haven't already, please pull your thumb out your ass and give us a thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel as well, because we are nearing 50,000 subscribers, where we're going to do a marathon stream of WrestleMania's 14 through to 17 live stream, and that'll be a massive amount of fun. And tomorrow on the WrestleTalk podcast, myself and Denise Salcedo, Team Danuk, we'll be joined by Dave Bradshaw to talk about the latest issue of the WrestleTalk magazine and my article on Kenny Omega. Maybe we'll ask the question, is Kenny Omega really the best in the world? Maybe we'll find out. I mean, how CM Punk's coming in, so maybe we'll talk about CM Punk and Daniel Bryan instead. But hey, who knows? We're going to have Dave Bradshaw on the show, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Right, I'm going to share my screen. Nope, that's the wrong one. Oh, I pressed the wrong one. Hold on. Share screen. Screen 2, Chrome tab. Forever trailer, share audio. Okay, right. Are you ready?
There's no V.
What's your history with Jackass?
Oh, I love it. I used to watch it. I don't think I watched the TV show, but there were clips. There were VHS recordings going around at school. It was the movie that really I got to see. I think I watched more Dirty Sanchez in terms of being on MTV than I did Jackass, but that was only because it was available. Yeah. Love them all.
All right, okay, here we go.
Ouch. Aww.
We'll meet again. Don't know where.
I'm sure it's what Vera Lynn would have wanted.
Ryan Dunn. People used to say he was the funniest.
He's the heart and soul.
Some sunny yeah.
day. Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville. Welcome to Jackass. 3, 2, 1.
People ask, what will Jackass be like once we're older? Well, it'll get more mature.
The faster you pedal your bike, the faster the other guy's hand goes back.
Oh no.
It wasn't gonna feel like anything.
Concussions aren't great, but as long as you have them before you're 50, it's cool.
Oh.
And Knoxville's 49, so we're good.
Oh Jesus, with a bull? Now that's a spear. That's a gore.
Wow.
Oh, God. We're going to do a little furniture shopping. Oh, I love Bad Grandpa.
I've been watching Jackass since I was 12 years old. And guess what? We're here.
We have winners, and we have Steve-O.
You ain't a bunch of NASA scientists, right, Mr.
Eric Andre.
What did you guys do?
Oh no.
You still got $1 million teeth, that's for sure.
Gee, didn't set myself up for failure on this one.
Aaron, please relax.
I'm trapped.
What the hell are they doing?
And you're putting honey on me and salmon?
What?
Oh my god.
That was a bear.
That's a big old bear.
Oh, that's beautiful. I really hope society is regressing. I'm reading a lot of read a few books recently that's sort of dives into British trying to explain Brexit, right? It's just a bunch of liberals trying to go, what the frick happened? And yeah, everyone's like, yeah, we're just going into these cycles happen in society. The majority just distrust institutions for a while, whatever. I welcome it. If it means Jackass is coming back and I'm going to get a load of prank films, it's okay with old Ollie.
I honestly thought, because I was a teenager. I was like 16 when the show was first on. I was like, oh man, maybe I'm going to be like too old for it now. Actually, no, I was 14 when I first started to watch it and stuff, because I watched like the CKY films.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I'll be too old for this now, because I'm now 35 years old. I'm a married man. I own a home. I've got 3 floors in my house and stuff. The second I watched that trailer, I was like, oh no, this is the best thing ever. And I'm so glad to be watching this. I cannot wait to watch it. I said to my wife, I was like, do you want to watch the trailer? And she was like, you've already watched it. I was like, yeah, I know, but you want to watch it. She was like, no, I think it's stupid. I was like, I've watched all of the films again. Like in the last couple of days, I've watched, because they're all on Netflix.
Have you? Oh, great. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Is it in Jackass 3 where it's one of my favorite, my favorite one of all time from the movies is the guys playing golf and the foghorn. Very simple.
That's the first one.
Yeah, that's first one. But the when they're in a limo, and they pour bees into the top of the limo, but they've also put marbles next to the door.
I snuck in to see the first film because wow. I was 17 when it came out. And so I wasn't 18 and I couldn't pass for 18 either. So we wouldn't. And we were worried that we would go up and try and buy a ticket. They would say no. And then we'd be stuck. Mm. Right. So what we did, we actually bunked off school as well. Don't bunk off school, kids. You should go to school and go to all your classes. So we did this, right. And it was on a Friday. What we ended up doing was buying tickets for whatever Lord of the Rings movie was out at that point. I think it was the second one. So we bought tickets to watch Lord of the Rings 2. We then went into that screen and then one by one left, right?
Oh,
so
we were like to go smart. To
the other, and then go into the other screen. And we all four, wow. And then all four of us eventually we were sat there. We went quite far to the back and we sat there. Dan, I was wearing a Jackass hoodie as well because I was a bit of a mark. And all of a sudden, like just before the film started, a load of kids ran in. Like they just like tore in sort of like 3 or 4 kids, right? Just absolutely belted it into the room and tried to hide in some seats. And flashlight followed them. Security guard was like chasing after them and stuff. Found them in the seats and escorted them out. We were like, oh man, look at that. And then the security guard came back in with the flashlight to check everyone else to see if anyone else had snuck into it when they weren't supposed to. And they shone a light on the four of us, all of us there, all with long hair and like Jackass paraphernalia on all of us. And he just walked away. And that was the closest we got to being thrown out. Oh, it was tense. And we just got to enjoy the movie after that. And it was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen in my life. The golf air horn thing. I had that idea because me and my friends used to make movies like this.
Yes.
We were into CKY. We're into Jackass.
Any of them still?
No, I don't know where any of that is anymore.
There's, that's a shame.
Well, our favorite thing to do was to, you know, like Big Grundon, like the big Grundon bins, was to like get up onto, to get up on top of those and get a couple of you and push them as hard as you can into the curb, because then it just like, it massively does a huge flip up. It's basically like an insane version of doing the trolley thing, right? Which we also used, mm-hmm. to go to the Sainsbury's car park in Calcutta at about sort of midnight, because there was no security guards then. Go down there about midnight to film all of that. That was one of our favorite things to do. Also, like wheelie bin battles. So, like, just going into, hiding into wheelie bins, pushing them around everywhere, and just pushing them off things so you would fall down. It was amazing. I didn't break anything. I think my friend got a bit of a concussion once, though, when doing Grundon things, because he just, we had the idea, which would be funny. It was like, what if you like stood up just before it hit the curb? Right. So that way it will fling you and you'll like just fly forward and you'll do like a big sort of Superman dive thing. And we're like, yeah, that's really fun. And what happened was he pushed, and as he went to stand up, his legs kind of buckled the Grundon bin.
Yeah.
And so it sort of hit the curb early and he just fell off the Grundon sideways and just landed right onto the curb, like all on his leg and like his head and stuff. It was a scary old time.
You'd have to apologize to his mother.
Yeah. I mean, you know, It was a fun time. We were foolish teenage kids. Don't try this at home. Anyone who's listened to this, if you are young and impressionable, don't try this at home. Don't be like me. I'm an idiot. But anyway, that's all we've got time for on this edition of the podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week doing the Raw Review, although I'll be back tomorrow with Denise and Dave Bradshaw talking about this latest issue of the WrestleTalk magazine. Take care, everyone. Love you. Goodbye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.